We are Brightside.
Line, please. Line. I'm nervous. Nine. Line. Thank you. Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Man, I've never seen Steve so excited in the open. So during the open, I'm going to give everybody a glimpse behind the curtain here. During the open, we can all see each other while it's playing, and we'll wait for the music to stop. And Steve is grooving over there. He's bebopping. He's like, he's getting ready to go. He dropped a bomb on John and I right before we hit play.
Well, before we really start, can I just say, because I appreciate that I'm in a group here of two Americans, you know, in front of me. I think it's only appropriate that I say thank you and express my gratitude for the work that you've done historically for my country over the years and the aid and the work. Cause I mean, I know that, and I'll put a suit on if you want me to.
Has he even said thank you, DJ, one time?
Not once.
Not
yeah, once. I rub it in on the 4th of July though. You lost.
The good news is DJ doesn't know what we're talking about. John.
Yeah, he knows.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
If you're not living under a rock.
Yeah. I'm looking for a new rock, by the way.
I say, even if you are living under a rock,
yeah,
he exactly. lifted it up just so you could see that.
I genuinely was going to wear a suit. But I thought the problem with that is it would only be funny if you guys hadn't seen it first.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I got it up, but there we go. Never mind.
I'll wear your costumes when this is over, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, hey, maybe one that's better than mine.
Yes, we all are. Yeah. I am, yeah. John.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan in the chat. Anyone else excited for Daredevil Born Again?
I'm kind of bummed that I'm not going to probably be able to see it till Thursday. So, I'm going to have to stay off of the internets for two whole days.
Oh, wow.
So, there won't be anything too revealing in the first couple, though, will there?
Probably not. No. But unless I can get it on tonight, which I don't know if I can, Lydia works late on Wednesdays. So. We won't be able to watch it till Thursday. So, that would be Jones. Cool.
You don't have any subwoofers. We have all the subwoofers.
Yeah.
Nice, Paul. I like it.
I'm not here to listen to subwoofers, Paul.
You're gambling with subwoofers.
That's right.
You don't have the subwoofers right now. But with us, you have the subwoofers. Anyway, right, let's leave
I can
that
hear the volume now. In your voice raising, Steve, but not the logic in your argument.
Oh, God.
Bear in mind, we don't normally bring politics into this.
No, I know.
It deserves it, doesn't it? It deserves it. All right, okay. Fellas, are you ready?
Are you ready
for the question? We ought to do it now because it could take a while, okay?
Oh.
Let's see. So, right, last Sunday afternoon, I was driving on the motorway, freeway, highway, whatever you want to call it, guys. And I was going to a police station. It's a long, long way away. So I was driving. And as I was driving along, there was a car transporter in the slow lane. Yeah, what we would call lane one, a car transporter. And on that car transporter, there were about eight Ferraris. But at the back, on the top, there was, I kid you not, the General Lee. From the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question occurred to me, and this is a question that I've been asking everyone of a certain age since then. And the answer that you may give me, knowing you guys, may well be reasoned and it may well be rational, but I don't want that.
Probably not.
I want an answer from the heart, guys. I want the emotional response. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Okay. Stretching out. Right. Here we go.
Imagine someone has.
What have I ever given anything that's not that?
Well, this is true. Although, bearing in mind the question, there are two sides of you to this one, Deej.
The mystery machine.
The emotional side and the rational side. Let's see. Okay, well, you're going to be your choice. Let's see.
Okay.
All right, so I've got a choice. So someone decides to buy you a track day, okay? And as part of this track day, you have got five laps in any one of the following What are you choosing? Okay. Now we can't go outside of this list. I have had people try. So here we go. Right. I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Oh, are you ready? So,
seven.
Yeah. Wait until I get to
the mystery machine is not one of them, Steve.
Not, yeah. No. Okay. Now I wish it had been, but okay. So here is your choice. 5 laps in any one of the following. Okay.
What kind of track, Steve? That matters.
A cool one. A cool track.
Cool one.
Right? Like, again, are we talking about Nürburgring? You're talking about just a regular oval? Is it like a...
See, rational responses. I want
that's not rational. There's different cars for different reasons.
I want an emotional response. Here we go. Here are your options. So, which one are you choosing from? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Okay. The A-Team Van. Kit, obviously from Knight Rider. The General Lee. Magnum PI's Ferrari, which is a 308 GTS. I looked it up. Yeah. The Gran Torino from Starsky and Hutch, or a cop bike from Chips. And because it's from Chips, you could have the cop uniform as well. Yeah. Which one are you going for, boys?
Generally, all day long.
Right. Okay. Popular choice. John, what
generally,
are we doing?
All day long. And I even had that choice back when it came out. It's like, between the two shows that came out, Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard, I love Starsky and Hutch, but I'm not a fan of the car as much as I am the General Lee. Mm-hmm. That show was before my time. But my rationale when I was a kid, and we had this conversation on the playground, everybody loved Kit. That Trans Am was the modern version, right? That was like when Bumblebee came out in Transformers, that Camaro didn't exist, right? So that Trans Am comes out and you're like, and then you get the... But my rationale was, that's not driving. The car's doing it. The General Lee is like, you're the driver. Okay. That's the Duke boy. Yeah. They know how to drive. I want to drive that car. So,
I'll get John's answer. And then I think, a caveat. There should be a caveat to the General Lee. And we'll come on to that in a second. So, John, what are you going for, buddy? The Mystery Machine.
I'm going to say the Starsky and Hutch mobile there.
See, I thought, yeah, I can see that. I can see you dressed as Huggy Bear and, you know, racing the...
I just want to see John go over the hood.
Yeah.
Hey, not that they didn't do that. They did the same thing on the General Lee.
I say, it's not TJ Hooker. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Have a look. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one you could have thrown in, Steve.
Now, that's just a normal police car, though. That's
no, not no, no. No, the Fall Guy's truck.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking you could have had Airwolf. The helicopter and Airwolf would have been cool, but then that's flying.
Yeah, they could really do laps with the Airwolf. But
you could have had the bike from Street Hawk.
Which
is quite, So, and again, I looked that up. It's a trails bike. But then I thought, well, we'll do that. So, okay. So, John, what are you going for? You're going for the Grand Tour.
You got the Batmobile. You got the Beverly Hills Mobile, Beverly Hillbillies Mobile.
So many choices. I was going for the General Lee as well. However, only. And I stress this only if the doors are shut and I can go through the windows. If they open the doors, it's not worth it. I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You could open the doors, could you?
Well, they were welded.
Yeah,
on the show, they were welded shut.
Yeah. But if it was a replica of it, there's no way I'm driving it. If it's not got the door shut, you've got to get in through the window, even though us of a certain age might struggle with that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure I could get in through the window, but
just dive in.
Try it.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, I'd be going in head first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that part. It was like, and I want the bows in the trunk. Mm-hmm. You got to have the bow in the trunk. And just like, because you know, when you're running moonshine and you're caught, you know, now you're going to play by the rules. We're not allowed to have certain things. So that's why they have bows, because they weren't allowed to have firearms. Well, they weren't allowed to run moonshine, but now all of a sudden they're like going to follow all the rules.
Well, but if they were driving,
still running moonshine.
If they were driving their moonshine in New Hampshire and they didn't know it was illegal,
right?
Would that be okay? Especially if they came from England and they didn't know.
Well, I mean, it's, of the two of that little list, the ones that have been the most popular are Kit and the General Lee all day long. Even with the slight, this is what I say about an emotional response, because the rational response is probably not the General Lee because of what's on the hood, you know, on the roof.
Oh my God. I loved how they even played that up in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they had the General Lee, and it's like, we'll talk about a scene this week that I have they are emotional scenes, but when that movie came out and they pulled out of the garage, you know what's coming. But when that car pulls out of the garage in the movie and you're like, and it's slow motion as it comes out and you're like, I mean, you just, you're a little, you know, I mean, 10, 12 year old kid, you're like, oh my God, there it is. It's like, I would love that car all day long. Well, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen not the car, but replica car shows around here and guys, they have the, you know, doors are welded shut. It is done up right. I think I told you guys recently I was following one around here and it was wrong. It's like everything was wrong on it, but it was like a, it was a Charger, but, or I always mix that up, but, the car was right, but the color was off. The wheels were wrong. It was like the wrong, almost the wrong font on the numbers. You're like, what are you doing? You were so close. You were so close.
Times New Roman. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. 10.
Yeah.
It's like, whoops.
But those two have been the popular ones. Kit and the General Lee have been the two people who've chosen. Now I've sat in Kit. They had that in Universal Studios in 84. So I've been in that one and the 18 van as well at the same time. And there was a little, kind of hut outside and you could see the wire going in where there was the bloke talking, you know, he was talking. So you could talk to Kit, but it was, you know, you could see kind of where he was. But yeah, I think it's the General Lee. I mean, again, perhaps the rational response might be the Ferrari because it's probably it's got to be the most valuable of all of those. And quick, surely that's got to be the highest value.
No, because those are everywhere. One, those are everywhere. Really? They're easier to come by. The General Lee is probably, of that list, is probably the most expensive for the, like, legit car. Yeah. Pristine. Wow. Pristine, done up with the motor done. You're talking hundreds, maybe, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But would the, Ferrari 308 GTS not be nearly millions, into the millions?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Where's because Brett when we need him?
Yeah, I know. I mean, he would know, but I don't, only because it's not as rare, right? Like to get the, what is that? A 69 Charger, I think it was. A 69 Charger done right.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, it just taken, even not a General Lee, just the 69 Charger, all done up, all original, everything like that. Go on, you know, I could text my buddy right now out in Arizona who works for, what's his name? Manages his, who does the auction in this country, John? The biggest auction? Barrett Jackson. So Barrett Jackson, he works for him and manages his thing, my buddy Tony. And, he would be able to tell me, he'd be like, oh, he'd probably say the same thing, General Lee all day long. Ferraris, I'm not saying they're not great and they're not expensive and to get a nice pristine one would be nice, but there's a lot more of those. I mean, that's what, remember, John, you remember when Billy Queso died? That's what he died in. That's what he bought after graduation, fifth reunion on the way home. He wrecked it.
Tried to jump a thing that he without a bridge.
Did
he say yee-haw?
He left the reunion and, John would know the corner after you go over 495 on 140 and you, right now the road goes straight, but it used to bear to the right. He went where the road goes now and the road didn't go there and there's a lady coming the other way in a Volvo. She jumped him. Cause the car is so low, the Volvo went right up and through the windshield. So.
Jesus.
Yeah, right after. I mean, it was right at the end of our reunion. We all left a country club, and that was it. We found out the next morning.
Yeah, man.
So, but it was a 308. Yep, same thing. And that's what he always wanted. That's what he had. And but yeah,
I mean, I had to look it up. I always think of it as a Magnum PI car.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I had to look it up. But so yeah. So in the chat, then let's have a look. So who we got there? So we've got RS saying he'll take his GT350. Is that a Ferrari?
No, that's a Mustang.
Oh, okay. Fine. Right. Good. Okay. Fair enough. TSG says, can Kit do super pursuit mode? Now, TSG, come on. We're just sticking with you. Just got five laps. Just drive this damn thing. what have we got here? So then we've got people adding to it. So we've got, Captain AC3 says the Mirthmobile from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
For five laps. Only if you've got Bohemian Rhapsody playing, surely. So TSG says, I have done a track day in a 308. It's not that easy to drive. Well, it won't be, will it? Because the pedals are really close together. If you've got large feet, you've got no chance, I'm sure.
Not only that, the Ferraris, if you've ever sat in one, you like a lot of them, you sit sideways. because of the wheel is where your like left foot would be. So you're actually like in the Testarossa. It might be the 308. The later, like the newer ones, it's not so bad. They figured it out, but I know in the Testarossa in particular, it's really bad. You're literally, your legs are sideways and you're looking this way and your feet are off to your right because that's the wheel is right there and you have no room for your feet. That's why you have to wear shoes, these like racing shoes. You see Ferrari guys with Testarossa and like, you don't need those shoes. Get your foot in there.
Marta J says the 1979 Chevrolet Monte Carlo from training day. Ooh. Yeah, but not on a track. That's just for riding through South Central, surely. AC3 says Christine. Yeah, well, Bullet, that remember I said to you that where the idea came from other shows. Than me seeing this thing, they had one there, you know, they had Bullet there. And of course, what's her name? Eleanor. Of course, Eleanor. As well. Yeah, gone in 60 seconds. Marcus Beeb says the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Yeah, not on a track, though. I don't think I'd want it on a track.
Those aren't that great either to drive.
They're famously rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ooh. Actually, Martin J says Bond's Aston Martin. Yeah, the DB5.
Yeah, any DBS,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh my God. Yeah.
Wonderful. The original, the Goldfinger one would be absolutely, or actually, do you know what? Yeah. I think I'll probably choose that of all of them.
I was going to say, I was waiting for that on your list, but it never came.
Oh man, I didn't even think of it until literally just now. But then the only thing with that though, if I'm going to have
your England doors, card.
Well, that's I'm a Kiwi, mate. It's lucky it's not not a wheelbarrow. we're farming folk. Or you're perhaps, you know, like a dragon or something. If we're, you know, was born close to Hobbiton. I suppose the other option. Yeah. I'm just thinking the other ones you'd want to go for. But yeah, I of that list though, I think it's the General Lee for me. If I'm going for the Bond car from Goldfinger, I need machine guns. I need to have oil that comes out the back and an eject seat if the instructor's giving me too much grief because I'm going too fast around the corners. Now, actually, DJ, talking about value, that one would be the highest value, wouldn't it? That'd be what, 5, 6, 7 million?
A DB?
From the 1960s. Yeah. Goldfinger's got to be in it of that little list. Would have to be the most valuable one. I dread to think how much that's worth.
The key is like in pristine condition.
Oh, right? Not everybody
else. Getting these things. And that's the other thing about I think to be fair, it's like, well, Starsky and Hutch would be too. But
do you think
Starsky and Hutch to see it in pristine condition, like not just drive these vehicles, but if you've ever seen these things in real life, like you see like the General Lee with the hood open and you see what the motor looks like and like all painted correctly. I don't know how much, did you ever do that model, John? Growing up?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I did. I had one that was like, I don't know what the scale was, but like normally you'd get a 132 scale or something, which would be a car about, you know, like yay big. I want to say I had like a 112 scale, which was like this. The tires on it were huge. It was like legit. And like you're literally running the hoses in the engine and you have to paint the engine the right color. And then to see that car in real life and then see inside and those, underneath the hoods on those, like they got a giant engine. You can still see the ground because the cars are so big, right? But it's just when you're at shows and you see it just all done up and the guys are in there with like feather dusters cleaning off the carburetors and stuff. It's just, they're just gorgeous to look at.
Would they, although I suspect they drive like an absolute pig, don't they? They're just so big. It must be like just trying to maneuver. There must be power steering. You must be like doing this. You're trying to turn.
Well, no. And that's what's nice about a track day. It's like you take these things out. It's like, yeah, they're hard to park in a parking lot. You don't want to go down to your grocery store and grab some groceries in them. Cause you don't have room in the back. You got bows and arrows back there, but trying to park them, it's like, but out on a track, that's the reason they're so hard to move. It's like that on a track, you're like, cause that's what it's meant for. You don't need that power steering on a track. You don't, to be fair, it's like, I remember growing up, it's like, I don't want power steering. I want to feel the road. Right. It's like, I've worked on race cars, like literal, like Porsches that were made for racing. And it's like, there was one we had dropped at the shop and you couldn't even turn this thing around a corner that was like a 90 degree. You had to do like a 7-point turn just to go around a corner around a building because the wheels only move so much because these cars are going around the track at like 150. And if you had full play on it, you're like, whee, you're just spinning. So you don't need a lot of room. You don't steer it a lot. So
Ara's been doing some checking for us. So $49,000, that's all for a 1982 308 in California. Dude, now you tell me, right, next time I'm in California, I'm going to like hire one. Because that's probably cheaper, especially with tariffs. It's probably cheaper than buying a new, than renting a new one.
Did you see the thing on Twitter about Ferris Bueller? I think it's time for the tariff lesson again. Like, that's, what's his name in the classroom? He's like, anyone? And it's like the whole thing is
not Ben Stein. What's his name?
Yeah. Ben Stiller's dad. What's his name? Stiller.
That's Ben Stiller's dad, is it?
Yeah. Jerry. That's who's doing it. Who's playing the role. But he's like, anyone. But what he's talking about is when the Republicans institute a tariff back at during the Depression, and you listen to the whole thing play out, and at the end, and he goes, and how did this tariff work out? Anyone? It did not. We went deeper into a depression. And then the clip ends. Like, rut-row.
I've got the 4K disc of that, and I haven't watched my version. I mean, I've seen Ferris Bueller forever, many times.
Well, now it's historical document, so there you go.
Talking about a movie with a cool Ferrari.
Yes. That one's worth more than the 308.
Oh, yeah.
It's rare. Again, it's rare. You know,
yeah, because you can only drive them backwards to take the miles off.
Yeah, the 308s were like, that was like the everyday car for people. Yeah. A lot of people had them. It's like they're, what is the one that I had? I showed you on the show. Remember, I wanted to work on it.
Yeah.
Here, and it's that one's $2 million because there's only like 10 of them or something like that. I don't know what it is, but.
Actually, Paul Hurt in the chat. John, I'm disappointed in you, John. He's gone for the ATST. Now, come on.
I saw that, and I was thinking that's a good choice.
It's not solid. Bad,
I mean, Land Speeder, of course, right?
Yeah.
On rails.
With the ATST, do we ever find out how they get in and out of them? Do we ever see that? We never, because Chewie ends up on top of one, doesn't he? In Jedi. But do we ever see actually how you'd get in and out of one? Does it just ladder. Sit right down? Yeah. Does it sit down? Does it sit?
Yeah, it squats down.
Like in the woods. Yeah. Like a bear in the woods. Or does it just kind of, you never quite figure that out. But because it'd be hard to park it.
Big ladders,
yeah. Trying to go under the bridges would be really tough. Trying to get gas in that thing, it'd be a nightmare with the cover over the, the gas station. Have to sort of scooch under.
Fill her up.
You'll get down.
See how I mean? That's 23 minutes, guys, right? We could do a full Takeover Tuesday, work through that list.
I could talk about the tires alone on the General Lee. And the rims and how the fan blades and the black with the brushed. Oh my God. Yeah. All day long.
So let's go. But anyway, very popular choices. As I said, Kit and the General Lee are the two that people have been choosing. I'm surprised that Chips isn't higher. I would have thought people would want to ride, the Chips bikes were kind of cool. And one of my friends who I mentioned said,
Harley Davidson, you're just putzing around on a Harley. It's like, are you going to ride it the way they rode it? Like, two of us next to each other, strapped to a trailer.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Like, hey, going down the highway.
Oh, it's so cool. And no one's choosing the A-team van, which I'm surprised about. I would have thought.
What do you want to do that on a track for? You want to go get a date?
It's pretty quick. It's pretty fast. It was Dodge, wasn't it? It was a Dodge van. They were pretty quick.
Airwolf would have. I was thinking Airwolf too when you started listening, but I'm like, you don't do that on a track.
Airwolf would have been quite cool, although it's only a modified.
There is another
Blue
one
that would be more fun. Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder. Oh my God, because that was a movie but made into a show. The other one that has made list, same list, and people have tried to make the car, Speed Racer.
People
have tried to do that. What's that?
I hate the film. I've never managed to finish the movie.
Oh, jeez.
No, me cartoon. Either, but cartoon,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. TSG, someone's been on Auto Trader here. TSG said he's found a General Lee in the UK for 74K. I'd be very surprised, though, TSG, if that's a proper one. Very right. surprised.
Well, yeah, that's probably a mock-up that's not 100% restored. It's probably, you know what I mean? You get all original, which costs a fortune on those cars. It's like, it's really hard. Along the lines of cars, I like almost died this morning. I haven't bought it yet, as you can see right now. But this was added to Kaleidoscape today. I woke up on my Tuesday and Super Speedway, if you guys remember this.
I've got the DVD. I've got the Blu-ray of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was like a demo disc back in 97. I'm going to get it and watch it. I watched it maybe a couple of years ago. I can't remember what I have it on. Probably Blu-ray now or something. But they restored Mario Andretti's Ferrari. I think it was a Ferrari, wasn't it? Was it a Ferrari? It was an Indy car, but it was
a Haas. Wasn't it Haas that he drove
maybe.
For?
Maybe. I forget. Yeah,
I mean, I've seen this so many times. This IMAX thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Haas, because it's Karl Haas. Karl Haas was in it, but yeah, Paul Newman. I think he narrated it, right?
Yeah, he does.
And then
he
Jeff and Mario Andretti, Michael Andretti, Christian Fittipaldi, Karl Haas. Yeah, this show was like it's 50 minutes long. It was it's a documentary, but the discrete sound that you got out of this, it was like revolutionary back in 97 on DVD, no less. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was on Laserdisc. I can't remember because at that time, Laserdisc was still hot and heavy. That was the competition. That was right at the line. That was the beginning of DVD. If it was on Laserdisc, I haven't had time to go through mine. I have it. I guaranteed I have it. But that, as soon as I saw it, it's a staple for home theater people from back then because it was one of those, anybody in the home theater groups, anywhere you went, is like, have you seen Super Speedway? It's like, oh my God, yeah, this idiot. Yeah, so I can't wait to
the test sequence where you get where they're on the track, where of course you get the behind car coming right up into the thing and you can hear the engine going absolutely crazy. Upmixed to Neural X, watch for the reverse shot of that as the car comes from the back and it just goes whoosh like that.
Yeah.
And it comes right over the room. Just goes like that. And you can feel every bit. I remember it being demoed with Butt Kickers on DVD. They were trying to do that just to sort of show it off and show what they could do. But the Blu-ray is really nice. Yeah, really nice. I mean, within reason. It's not as spiffy as it used to on DVD, or that's how we remember it.
Right.
But it's very, very cool.
Well, that's what happens. It's like, I think was it shot in IMAX too?
Yeah, it's an IMAX documentary. It is an IMAX documentary.
Yeah. Because it says on the giant screen experience. Yeah. So that's the other part of it is that seeing these cars up close, seeing those colors, and like even back then on my little 32-inch television and eventually my 65-inch, you know, rear projection TV, it did have that. You know, that super bit quality. Remember super bit? You know, I'm like, it's so much better. but yeah, it's like, I know it looked great. I like I said, I probably saw it a few years ago with Joe. But yeah, seeing it just get upgraded or get added as an HD on Kaleidoscape, I was like, if I had the time, if I could get into my theater and see it, I'd be like, ugh.
What's the sound on it, Deej? I mean, it says HD, so it's 1080p, isn't it? But what's the codec?
Pretty sure. DTS HD Master Audio 5.1.
Yeah, same as the Blu-ray. Yeah. It still holds up. It still holds that sequence. It's maybe not as, you know, earth shattering as it used to be because we've now seen Le Mans 66. We've now seen, you know, movies like that. And again, you had the base from things like Dune 2 and Furiosa and that kind of thing. So it's not quite as absolutely earth shattering as it once was, but it's still good. And it's as close as you're going to feel to being in one of these things until F1 comes out in the summer. Or of course with, which we talked about, Rendezvous, which puts you right on the front of the bonnet or the hood of this car. that's the French one. I mean, that's just bananas, that one. Or Pigeon Killer, as I've come to think of it. Actually, John, that's an option.
Run it over.
Run them over.
You gotta get a running start, but you'll be good.
Yeah. You've never seen so many pigeons get killed in about 10 minutes as you do in that film. Well, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not even sure it's a film, really. Short film, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. Anywho, so there we go. Yeah. Sorry, I derailed the show, and for that I apologize, but I needed an answer to the question, guys.
You got it. Yeah, no, that was great. That's not derailed. That was fun. John, we were nervous for nothing, I guess.
I know.
I told you it would be an answer that you'd have. It's not a test.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Save that for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder NASCAR, Marcus B was saying in the chat. Yeah.
Those are the sort of cars, though, that you couldn't drive normally, could you? You'd have to have a level of experience of driving those. It's like a Formula One car. If you can't drive it properly, you can't drive it at all. Because you're just going to plow it straight into a wall in about 2 seconds.
It's not as bad as a Formula One, but they are – I mean, it's a little trickier. It doesn't take so much. You can do that around here. My sister gave it to me for my birthday 1 year. And you can do that
around – You drive it in a loop, though, like in an oval.
Yeah, it's actually easier. They're like basically set up for that. And it's like – I mean, if all you're doing is taking lefts, everything on your car is set up for taking a left. So it's like, So yeah, it's not as, that's why I said at the beginning, like, what kind of track are we on? Are we just taking lefts or are we just,
but it's about your emotional response. It's about you being a kid back in front of the TV on a Saturday afternoon. Is the bridge out?
Is the bridge out?
And I might be chasing
Roscoe after me.
Pico train.
Flash.
Yeah, you wouldn't want anything bad to happen to Flash. Yeah.
No.
But that's the thing. It's that emotional response. And again, what I've enjoyed when I've been asking people about this is people saying it's generally because every Saturday afternoon I'd be sat with my dad I'd have a packet of, we call them crisps. You guys would call them chips, right? I'd have a packet of chips and I'd have a pickled egg in there. And I would eat that, and that was my Saturday dinner time watching this with my dad. And they just would talk and reminisce about it. And this is why I say an emotional response rather than a rational one, because it kind of puts you right back there watching these things as a kid and just kind of loving it. So, yeah, very cool.
Ours was Friday night.
Was it Friday?
Were they on Friday? That was Friday night. I think Chips was Saturday night. And Friday night was,
Dukes was definitely Friday night.
Dukes was Friday. And I think Knight Rider was Friday. Chips and then maybe Airwolf was Saturday, something like that. But yeah, sitting with your dad watching Chips. And that was like Chips in particular, I remember was one of the first times my dad is like, what was that? And I'm like, what? And you can't back it up or anything, but they're on a beach. They're chasing somebody down the beach and the car takes off and he's like, why did the tires squeal in the sand? So that was my introduction to like basically knowing John. That don't make sense. Because it was. And I was like, wait a minute. Now everything I watch since then was like, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. Like, I'll never, the car took off and the sand's all kicking up, the rooster tail of sands. And it's like, my dad's like, what?
But it's interesting, though, isn't it, back then, that they built shows around these vehicles. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, all that work. Airwolf, obviously, they were built around the same with Street Hawk and all that. The shows were built around these vehicles. You know, it wasn't really about the characters. It was about the car. It was about the thing. And then everything kind of went with that. But interesting. So, yeah. And then away
it's
from
like they were trying to sell something, Steve. I mean, maybe someday they'll actually make a movie about like fighter jets and try to recruit people to the Air Force, you know.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Exactly.
So were they trying to sell like the van? Were they trying to sell Gran Torinos and Starsky and Hutch? Were they trying to sell the vans in the A-Team? Was the General Lee designed to sell Challenger? Were you supposed to go out and buy those?
I don't know. I
don't know. Obviously, I don't know. I mean, certainly you couldn't do that here. I mean, it was impossible to do that here because obviously the vehicles don't come over, hence tariffs.
Obviously with the General Lee, it's a little harder because it's an older car, right? But Kit, I would say definitely. Pontiac's like, yeah, we want our car in there and that's going to sell cars. And it absolutely sold cars. You know, I don't think product placement wasn't heard of back then. I mean, it's super heard of now. It's like everybody knows about it. I mean, we get accused of it on the show. On this show, it's so heard of, right? You're like, no, it's like, you know, there's no such thing as product placement here. I don't know what people are talking about, right?
I wish there was.
I wish there was. We all got our drinks that nobody.
The record show, I'm the only one with the bright side one, guys. Come on.
No, not true. I have my water right here, product placement, and my bright side hat that, He's like in the.
I don't know if you've seen the X-Reel one.
Yeah, exactly. my sweatshirt that you can buy at T-Public. Like, no such thing. And I got a General Lee behind the curtain back here.
Yeah, we'll be right back after these messages.
If I had a General Lee, I wouldn't be having the problems I'm having. Because I wouldn't have the General Lee anymore, and I wouldn't have any problems. Oh God!
But it's such. I love how it's evocative, though. And there's not. Is there anything like that now? Not in terms. I mean, TV is not built around a vehicle anymore. There's no. There are no shows on the air at the moment that is centered around that. Is I mean, not that I can think of. You know, and is that because TV's gone too high concept? Is that because the series these days, you know, the Penguin, Game of Thrones, and the, you know, even 24.
Well, movies certainly are. I said, like, with Transformers, they do it. New cars come out, and they put them into movies and stuff like that. I think it's just harder for us to think of it right now because think about back then. It's like you had three stations. So it was captive audience for sure. And everybody, you know, you're in a group of people and there's bound to be somebody in that group that's watching whatever that is, which is going to get it to the other person. Nowadays, you can be in a group of 10 people and not all 10 people are watching the same thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And product placement's a little bit, I mean, it's more important now. It's because there are no commercials or there's a potential of no commercials. So it's more important to get your stuff into the movies or into the shows and, see people using it. But, yeah, it's. I don't know. I'm trying to think. You couldn't build a show around a vehicle now,
though. I don't think. I think people want more from their shows. You can't. It's too high concept. It's too much money in it now. I don't see them going. Oh, this is a movie where you know our main character, you know, flies a particular type of plane or a particular car, and that's where we're building the show. Whereas, you know, the General Lee, it was a character in Dukes of Hazzard. The main character in the Dukes of Hazzard, Kit was definitely a character in Knight Rider. It spoke.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, you see what I mean? So it kind of, whereas I don't think you get that now. That seems to have gone. Everything's got to be too, or more high concept than that. There has to be more to it than that. Can you imagine trying to pitch to Netflix? It's all about the car, right? You know, they're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on how you did it. I'm sure somebody could pull it off. As much as those cars were all characters on their show and probably the focal point, but they didn't carry the show. Like Dukes of Hazzard went downhill after the two main drivers of the car were gone, right? It didn't do as well. You still had the car. You know, and that you couldn't really Knight Rider as much as it was Kit. It's the relationship of Kit and Michael, right? Yeah. So you have it's actually the relationship of the people. If you just had the car and it's a different driver every week, you'd be like, I don't know. That's, you know, maybe you could pull that off nowadays with AI, you know, and really give it a personality. And it was like just the car drove around the country saving people, I guess. I don't know.
Well, someone mentioned in the chat, Christine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to get into it. I mean, of course, you know what we haven't mentioned. Actually, no one's mentioned it, and it's just popped into my head. And actually, it might be one that we all should have mentioned and frankly should have been first. Herbie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Herbie.
You should have mentioned Herbie.
Herbie, and that was the one we all could have had.
Yeah.
It's like my dad had one. He had one. Let's just paint it white, put some stickers on it.
53 on the side and game on.
Yeah, exactly. Herbie. All
right. God, man. See, I'm telling you, that's a Takeover Tuesday or even a 25-hour podcast right there, guys.
Oh, my God. So funny. So funny.
So, yeah.
So a couple things before we get going. You want to go through the chat?
People are rocking. Although we've brought quite a few people in, but absolutely, of course. TSG was first in, ATSG, so local boy who had a bit of a rubbish experience at a local theater this week.
Oh, really?
Out of focus projector.
Oh, not good.
Not cool. Yeah, not cool, not cool. Someone called Steve George was talking to him. I don't know who that is. Yeah. Mikey's
I heard all about that. Mikey Schramm texted me a picture. He's setting up, getting ready, talking. He said, doing my normal routine on Tuesdays. And he sent the picture in of like his setup and talking to you guys. That's what he said. I was on my way home and I saw it. It's pretty cool. Hey,
good stuff. Yeah, Mikey's in. And good news, Mikey, we are keeping it clean so far. So good news. Won't last, but for now we're doing well. Marcus Peeps in. Not you, Marcus. Paul Hertz in. Hey, Paul. Rach is in. Rach, by the way, this week, not only did you want to mention her,
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how I was going to get to that. But yes, you can mention that now.
Sorry.
No, we'll do it right now. Yeah, Rachel, I got it. What was it? Saturday, guys? Something like that. Saturday. And I tweeted it out. Thank you. So what she did is she set up a monthly donation through PayPal, which I know Ara says on his show all the time. We've never mentioned it here. I always obviously forget about it. But, yeah, she set up a monthly donation over there. So really appreciate that. Kind of, you know, we didn't suggest it, and she just did it on her own. So thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And like I said in the tweet that I put out, it's like, I mean, she's in chat every week. She's a huge supporter of the show, and now stepping up like this too is just awesome. So
she has in fact doubly supported the show this week, Deej.
You said a hat? Side
cap as well. Yes, indeed. Jeez, yep. So there we go. So yeah, thanks, Rach. So Captain's in as well. Captain EC3. He's in. Right. Then we had back and forth for a while. Right. Oh, yeah. Dom's in. Bonsoir, Dom. Dom's been quiet. Do we think they had Dukes of Hazzard and, Le Nettre d'Or in France? What? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Why not?
Well, I just, cause he's been very quiet.
I don't know.
I mean, really, Rendezvous should be his thing, shouldn't it? I mean, that was in Paris. I mean, you know.
Yeah. No, anyway. Yeah.
Steve Atts in.
Cars.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Peugeot, not exactly a race car, but okay.
Could go for the Citroën C. What was the one from A View to a Kill? Is it the yellow Citroën 2CV thing?
Is that what it was?
Yeah. That was a Citroën. So Jordan's in. Martin J's in. Hi, Martin. We've got Yanks North in. Hey, Yanks North. Lane Smith's in. Hey, guys. Ara is in, as we know, who's been doing the car checking for us. Thanks, Ara.
Yeah, and Ira chose the 308.
Yeah, see,
he said 308, which I thought was weird. Come on, Ira.
Kevin's in as well. Hey, Kevin. We've got Ariel Alanis is in. Hey, buddy. And who else have we got? I thought I saw some others as well.
Greg the Awesome Ninja would rather have the Mach 5 or Inspector Gadget's talking car.
Okay, well, fair enough.
There you go.
Switch your own, yeah. Yep. An animated one, fair enough. You realize why that is, though. It's because Greg is much younger than we are.
Yeah, but Inspector Gadget. I was going to wait for you to get to the end of it. I got one for John and I to do five laps in.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Right. Give me 2 seconds. So Wrangle's in. Billy Sellers. Hey, guys. Oh, nice. All right. Hey, Billy. First from NC. Is that North Carolina?
Oh, nice. Hey, Billy.
Yep.
First North Carolina. Looking,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Nice to see you. Thanks for jumping in.
Welcome aboard.
Buddy. Yeah. Okay, yep. And I think that's everyone. Right. What are we doing five laps in then, Deej?
Come on. How did we not mention the Flintstones?
Oh, yeah. Need to get tired.
Exactly. That's why all you're doing is five laps. It's like, I just want video of John and I's feet going.
and the starter pistol being a bird who just turns to the camera and goes, it's
and I'm getting a rack of ribs when we're done.
You can see both in sort of, you know, the loincloths, you know.
Yeah, that's
who's Fred and who's Barney. That's what I want to know.
That's what's, you know, bringing the eyeballs to the screen right there. I mean, come on. It's like, don't go too fast, John. My loincloth's flying away.
Oh, dear.
That's not the shifter.
Do you need a shifter if it's just literally your feet through the floor?
That's why I'm wondering why John's reaching for it.
I mean, look, I've heard of getting your rocks off, boys, but come on.
Hey.
Sorry, mate.
It is a quarry. It is a quarry. You know, it's like.
We were clean.
Long neck dinosaur.
Yeah, Franklin dressed as Dino.
All right, that's the end of the show. boy.
Oh, actually, Billy Sellers says, so Billy, I mean, just jumping in, says the new Cannonball Run movie, Days of Thunder. Is there a new Cannonball Run movie coming? Is there?
I have no idea. I think I did hear something about that. It is canon. Well, that's one word.
Talking about Cannonball Run, which then gets us to Smokey and the Bandit. I suppose the Pontiac Firebird would be quite fun from that as well, I suppose.
Somebody mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, but only if you're being chased by the police. You can't just do that normally. But the track day that I was at last year, you could be pursued by an American police car. You could choose. You could either be the criminal being pursued by the police and you have to stay away for five laps, or you could be the officer chasing a professional driver. And of course, you know, you're never going to get near a professional driver. Not even close.
No.
It should be two people chasing each other.
Yeah, they had the blues and twos on and all that stuff. So it is quite cool. But I think, Smokey and the Bandit, I think in the Firebird would be quite fun. It was a Pontiac Firebird, wasn't it?
When we did the Pinewood Derby and the Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts at the time over here. And they, you could do whatever you wanted. And my dad's like, I'm like, I want to do the Trans Am, right? From Smokey and the Bandit. And I wanted to paint Dude the Black. And he's like, he goes, no, let me help you this year and you can do whatever you want next year, but let me show you. So he helps me and it's like this weird looking shape. It's like oval, weighted, right? He did everything. He helped me do it, showed me what to do. And I took second in the entire thing. I took second. Mm. The next year, he's like, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, okay, cut it this way. So he showed me on the bandsaw and I had the wing on the back. I painted it black. I did everything. Let me do the whole thing. Car didn't even make it to the finish line. It like comes down the ramp like, it's like, it wouldn't even. I was like, oops. Oh, well.
But did you look cool doing it?
It looked great. Yeah, it looked great. And you know, what, 30 years later, whatever, it's Joe's turn to do it. We did the same thing. I think my car came in third. And then the same thing that his car finished, but it was like, it was limping to the finish line, but it was the same thing, you know, but it was like, you know, he's like, he's all sad. I go, hey, you did it yourself. You made it yourself. You're going against dads. Don't worry about it. Right.
Alrighty. Right. There we go. See, apologies. As I said, derailed the show a bit.
No. Yeah. So that was, Rachel, thank you very much. Then there was, we had, thank the patrons. We are doing an after show again today. Probably not going to go as long. Last week we went like at past 9 o'clock. So we went like way over. But probably just do, you know, maybe a little past 8 today, something like that. Maybe a little over an hour. But yes, thanks to the patrons and dollar from everybody. We could all retire, especially John.
Goodbye, General. I'm already retired. I just need I just need to start eating again. So
there you go. So yes, thank you to everybody. And you know what? You don't even have to, like, Rachel's doing it both ways. You know, she's getting the advertising and stuff like that. And you don't even have to, you don't have to go to TeePublic and buy stuff, but just talking about the show to people, stuff like that, and contributing to the show. Being in the chat, that's a huge contributing factor because people come in there and you guys have been great for so long that it's like people pop in and then they come back. And it might not even be for us. It's just fun to hang out with you guys in the chat. Mm. So, that's what makes this show go. So thank you to everybody for that. And, Oscar talk. Any Oscar talk? Any ideas? I mean, I want to talk about Dune 2 a little bit, but because, you know, sound.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Unusually this time, I haven't seen most, if not any, of the big contenders. I mean, I haven't seen Anora. I haven't seen whatever it's called. What's the really long?
I don't think anybody's seen Anora.
No, man, I know people that have. One of my colleagues has seen it. It was really good. But also, what's the long one with Adrian Brody? What was it?
Brutalist.
Brutalist.
Three and a half hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to an actor the other day, a couple of weeks back, who's a friend of mine who I've known for a while, and he was saying they appreciate the craft. And so they went to this very plush cinema with all the love seats and blankets and, you know, chair service and all this. And he went with his wife and he said, the first half we thought this will get quite good. And then in the interim, they were like, it's not very good. And then in the second half, they're like, we just want this over. Yeah. They said it was interminable and really didn't like it. But one of my colleagues really did. So Anora, I want to see The Substance. I want to see, I've seen 10 minutes of that, really enjoyed it. But I waited because it was a screener and I want to see the 4K version, which is on its way from the US as we speak. Hopefully not tariffs. Hopefully just escape the tariffs. So those, but generally in terms of the movies that were contenders, I haven't seen them. Obviously always the animated ones. I was a bit annoyed that The Wild Robot didn't win because John and I were, you know, we're pulling for that one. I'm thinking, cause that's just so good. And then, but so the sound ones, NDs, what do we have for those?
Yeah. Well, it's Dune won for,
I've just not my keyboard. Sorry, buddy.
Dune won for, you know, best sound,
which
best
is sound right. Design.
Yeah. Right, it also won for best visual effects. Which is really cool. That's the one I go to every year and I probably would have, I wanted to do some scenes from it today. But didn't get a chance and it's probably better because that movie really does push it, which is fantastic. Bass, the pressurization of your room and stuff. So probably not the best thing for me right now. But yeah, it was good to see that. I was a little disappointed it didn't win Best Picture either because after, you know, being the second of the two, doing what it did, the popularity and the full scope of everything that they, you know, what Villeneuve, is that how you say it?
Denis Villeneuve.
What he pulled off. I just thought, you know, I'm sure, you know, Anora from everything I've heard is fantastic as well. Just haven't seen it. And, but in The Substance, like you said, those are the other two that I did really want to see. What was the other one Jen saw? The one, the transgender drug
Amelia
dealer.
Perez.
Amelia Perez. She saw that. She said it was really good. But I was like, it's a musical? And it is. It's kind of a musical. So I was like, that's a weird combination, but okay. But it is weird when you see, like, I know they upped it to 10 for Best Picture just to get more. You could sell more stuff because now more, you know, instead of five or whatever, you have five more people that can put it out nominated for, you know, put it on the Blu-rays or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just seems like, I don't know, maybe is it me that I'm not getting out and seeing the better movies anymore? But it's like, you know, you hear about like back when we were younger, it's like the runs that we had in the 90s and stuff. It's like I saw every single one every year, like everything that was nominated, I saw them all the time. You know, it was rare that you didn't. And now it's like, what's that one? <It's>
I've seen all the visual effects ones, I think, and I think the sound ones that are available. I think I might own all the visual effects ones, to be fair. certainly that are out. But then that's more up our alley, isn't it? That's kind of where we want to be, visual effects and sound. And if it could be best picture as well, great, but it's not essential.
I didn't see all of the Oscars. I saw some of the, you know, the open. I was at a bar, saw it on the big screen there. I could not recognize Demi Moore. I know she was fantastic in The Substance. What, didn't she win? Did she win?
The only thing I think was makeup, wasn't it? Makeup effect.
Oh, okay.
Where it was. Cause I mean, it's incredible. I mean, like I said, even the bits I've seen look absolutely, can't wait to see it.
I couldn't, right? She was on the red carpet and I was like, it had her name under it. And I was like, I do not see her there.
She's won an Oscar for best makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
She is a visual effect.
Oh, jeez.
I am looking forward to The Substance. The film from the director, Coralie Fugé, or whatever her name was, the film before that, Revenge, which is a movie you should both see. It's absolutely awesome. I've talked to you about it before. So I am certainly looking forward to this. I've seen 15 minutes of it and was enjoying it so much. I just thought, right, nope, I'm not watching anymore. Just stop. I want to see it in 4K. I want to see it properly. It's body horror. It's gruesome. But, you know, exactly what I would
say. Let me know when you've seen it, sir.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Have you, John?
Oh, yeah. I texted you months ago.
Oh,
about
my God.
That.
You know what? You did. Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Did you enjoy it, though?
Let me know when you've seen it.
All right. Coralie Fugé. There it is. Yeah,
yes and no. When you see it, you'll know exactly how I felt about it.
Oh, good man. I am looking forward to this. I can't wait. It's right up my alley. So yeah, it'll be good. So yeah, there we go. Yeah. So Oscars, I watched the monologue, the opening monologue, on YouTube. I wasn't staying up late to watch it. Which was good. Conan, he was good. And he's not really much of a presence over here, but I thought he was good, with his monologue.
Yeah. I actually did. I was like creeped out by the thing they did for like with the substance. Where it like crawled out of Demi Moore's body.
Yes.
I was like, what the? I was like, what is that? And I'm like, that is weird. That, like, I didn't like that. But, okay.
Wait till you see the film.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All righty then. Yeah. So you ready to get to some actual experiences?
Yeah. Go on. Let's talk movies.
What would you like to do first? Who wants to go first?
I'm
whatever goes up. Sunday morning. Yeah, whatever goes up on screen.
Oh, you got a few, John. Yeah. And
I've got two.
You got two.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, only got two.
And what do you got, Steve? You got?
I've got a few. But if you want to go back a little bit, because I've got some that have been there a while, so it'd be nice.
Again, right.
OCD.
Tell me where.
There's keep going down. There should be one with Anthony Mackie, the TV series. I can't see it. No, keep going down. No. That's the one from last week. There's another one there. With TM are the initials of it. Should be there. Sorry, this is riveting for everyone listening. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I didn't add it. Hang on.
See if if you want to grab another one, that's fine.
No.
It will be nice to be able to cross it off my list. I can not. There it is. There on the left.
Oh,
there it is. Yeah, let's do this one. This one.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this? Talking about cars.
All right. There we go.
Okay. Yeah, there we are. What a Mikey. See, Mike knows this. Mikey knows this so well. Okay, so this then, ladies and gents, is Twisted Metal, TV series on Peacock, I think, in the US. And then it kind of came out here quite a while after, and this is now on Blu-ray. So this is 1080p DTS HD Master Audio. Now, guys, have either of you heard of this?
I've seen it.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Do you know what, John? We spoke about it, didn't we?
We did talk about it.
We did. Sorry.
I watched it because of your recommendation.
There you go. But I don't think I talked about it on the show. I don't think.
No.
I might have done. I don't know. I think that was off air, wasn't it? Okay. So this is now on Blu-ray, and it's just come out here within the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks or so, whatever it was. It's a TV series based on a PlayStation 2 computer game called Twisted Metal, funnily enough. And this is season one. I mean, it bears very little resemblance to the game. I mean, the game is like a destruction derby type thing where various colorful characters and cars just shoot each other and smash each other to bits. I remember it well. So this then is the TV series. Anthony Mackie, I never remember the name of the woman there. She was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, wasn't she? I can never remember her name for the life of me. And then you've got this clown there called Sweet Tooth, who you can see in that picture, who is voiced by Will Arnett, of Smartless fame. It's a story about, an alternate, post-apocalyptic future where America has gone to the dogs. Can't imagine. I mean, you know, it is alternate, all right? It's not a glimpse of next couple of weeks. Various cities have been walled off, and in between these cities there are what they call milkmen, who are people that do the deliveries, okay, of whatever it's needed, and Anthony Mackie is one of those people. And the season one is him kind of establishing the world and what they do. It's very anarchic, it's very funny, it's really a really fun series, and what I like about this is kind of what we talked about with the Big Bang Theory, Deej. The episodes are short. They're not an hour each. They're lean in, 28, 29, 30 minutes, nice and short, and they're a lot of fun. So it's a really fun series. This is the second time I've seen it all the way through and really, really enjoyed it. And I'll roll on season two. So this, though, is the first time watching it properly in 1080p. Now, the picture quality in it at times is one of those discs where you would be hard pushed at times to know whether this is 4K or 1080p. It was shot on a relatively low budget, but obviously with decent cameras, because there are times when it looks stunningly good, really, really good. And so, you know, whenever you got close-ups on Sweet Tooth the Clown, there's little flecks of blood around the mask, and there's all kinds of dents and damage to it. And some of the longer shots look incredible. Really three-dimensional. Not always. because sometimes the budget limitations show, but generally it looks very good indeed. Audio is very cool, upmixed to Neuralex, sounds great, albeit, again, it's a TV show on a limited budget, but still very, very good. So it's a very cool show. Well worth seeing, DG. I think you might get a kick out of it. And again, because it's short episodes, you're not having to really invest a lot of time in it. So I thought it was great. It's a real blast. A lot of fun. Anthony Mackie's great in it. And you've got
how many episodes in a season?
I think this one is it 8 or 10?
10. Yeah,
I yeah, I, 8 or 10. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, DG. Having seen it twice, I'm still not sure. I think it might be 10 actually. Now that I think about it, but I'm not sure, but it just rattles along. It's never anything less than fun. And I think you get a real kick out of it because you enjoyed it, didn't you, John? I seem to remember.
I did. I mean, I struggle to remember it vividly now, but I do remember, you know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, funny. yeah, I'm looking forward to season 2, although I might have to rewatch season 1. I can remember.
Yeah, but it's so much fun to do again. It's not, you know, it's not a chore to rewatch. It never felt like homework. It's great. I really, really did enjoy this. You know, Anthony Mackie's on a bit of a run in Cinema George at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very cool.
I was just flipping the channel. I saw him in something else the other day. I forget what it was.
I don't know, but he's got another show coming up soon on one of the I can't remember what, anything about it. Other than I saw his name attached to it. So
he's a busy man. Busy man. So.
Good for him. Yeah,
well, I bring all the information.
Yeah.
He's got to be too. I saw him about
somewhere.
It.
I don't know what it was, but something's that was coming Anthony out Mackie.
Sometime. On some channel.
The other thing, guys, as well, you know, we were talking briefly about Falcon and the Winter Soldier last week. I've now finished the series, the rewatch. There's a big action sequence at the end I'd completely forgotten as well. It's not just the one at the beginning. There's a massive sequence at the end too that I would have sworn had been dropped in from something else because I just totally forgot it. That series is actually really good.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Nice. All right. Let's see. What do we got? John, what do you got? You got 2. You want to do?
Either one. Doesn't matter.
That one?
Sure. Either one.
Yeah. This is one I have never seen.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
speaking
never seen
of Oscars, this. Didn't this win an Oscar?
Yeah, it won a number of Oscars.
Best Picture,
yeah,
didn't it?
Won a few things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, now, I mean, even the people watching live are like, what are they talking about? Never mind the audio-only people.
Right.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. So this, then, is The Shape of Water. I did watch this on the Zedoo, but it is in 4K, HDR10. And DTS HD Master Audio. I saw this movie back in 2017, whenever it first hit whatever streaming service it would have come to back then. And I remember thinking it was okay, you know, didn't love it, but I didn't think it was a bad movie at all, but I didn't feel like it lived up to the hype that it was getting at the time. And I haven't seen it again since. But I did, again, had this available. So I had the opportunity to watch it again. And I'm happy to say upon second viewing, I feel exactly the same way about it. it's fine. Like it's good, but I didn't love, like, it's not great. Like, I still don't think it's, a masterpiece. I don't think it deserves some of the acclaim that it got, but it is a good film. And it definitely worth seeing. I'm really surprised that neither one of you have seen this, given that it was pretty popular at one time.
Yeah. I forget what came out at the same time, but it was like a shocker. I mean, it won, I just pulled it up. I knew it won Best Picture, but it won Best Picture, Best Director, Guillermo del Toro, also Best Original Score and Best Production Design.
Yeah.
So it did well that year. And I think,
being that this is, you know, what, 8 years old now, I can see the production design, you know, again, some of the effects have aged a little bit because it's been 8 years and we've gotten advances since then. And then as far as the, I, again, the disc goes, I kind of feel the same. Like, I feel like this is a 4K disc that's due for a bit, that could do with an upgrade a little bit. Like, I feel like Dolby Vision or even HDR 10 Plus or something would make a big difference here, because it is very dark in some scenes. And, you know, I feel like, you know, like I said, it could do with a little bit of an upgrade. And same thing, like, I kind of wish it had an Atmos track, because, you know, there are parts of this that I think could have been really good, but I didn't think they were that good. So I don't know. Of course, you know, this was upmixed to NeuralX. But again, I think it's just fine. Like, it's definitely worth seeing if you haven't seen it.
Paul Hertz saying in the chat, there is a disc upgrade coming. Isn't it coming from two Criterion?
Again, so, I don't know, but
Criterion,
I can see.
Criterion would do it right.
I can see where this might benefit quite a bit from that.
Right.
So my opinion, but, I think it, like I said, it definitely was okay, but it didn't blow me away in any of the visual or audio moments. And, you know, like I said,
It'll be interesting if they get the Criterion one.
Yeah. I could never quite get a handle on the sort of movie that it was. And that kind of put me off from seeing it. I couldn't work out, is it supposed to be a love story? Is it a tragedy? Is it a drama? And because I couldn't quite get my head into that space, I never saw it.
Is it a fish out of water story?
Well, that's it. Yeah. It sounds fishy to me. I'm sure it's at a very large scale.
It's definitely not to spoil it too. There's definitely a love story aspect to it. If you can't tell from the posters and all the advertising that's been done. It's a drama.
I like, don't get me wrong, Guillermo del Toro. I mean, you know, he's done some great movies, and I still enjoyed Nightmare Alley that I reviewed last year, I think it was, as well as all his others. But it just, like I said, I can't quite get my head into the kind of movie. I've seen it on the shelf in stores in 4K loads of times and thought, well, I could pick that up, and then just somehow never does it. And it's interesting that TSG says it's in my pile of unwatched discs, never seems to make it to the top of the pile. And I'm kind of like that, in as much as I just never get to the point of even buying it.
When you put it in,
John, I was curious, because I thought, oh, okay, right, this is a good chance to find out about it.
And I don't like it enough that I will seek out an upgraded disc. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that curious about what Dolby Vision or Dolby Atmos would do for it, because I don't love the story that much. But again, it's definitely not bad. You know, Michael Shannon is here and he's great. You know, Sally Hawkins, is really good in this. So, I mean, the performances are good. And, you know, the effects and all that stuff are pretty good. It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those movies that's kind of just okay.
I will maybe give it a chance, but it is one of those things. Like, if you have something else,
again, if it's cheap enough, I don't know what a 4K disc goes for or what Collectively has it for. It's, you know, it's worth seeing for sure.
Look, see what Shape of Water is.
Yeah, it's $17.98 on Amazon over on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
Kaleidoscape
has it, 4K, HDR, HDR 10, and DTS Master Audio 5.1.
Yeah. It's just the same.
So,
just one of those movies I can't quite bring myself to put the cash down for and then watch. I've got a feeling I'll buy it and it'll just go on the shelf Shape of Water 2 comes out, you know, then it's just going to be like,
Shape of Water 2. All right. Let's see. What do we want to do? I don't have that much. So, Steve.
Just grab it. Should we go back a little bit, Deez? Let's go back a couple of. I want to go to. It's on there because I saw it. Another TV series.
Wait a minute. Yeah, back to. Here we go.
In this section? Yeah, up. There. Right in the middle. That's it. Yes, please. Oh, yeah. I've been dying to talk about this. We talked all about right. it briefly off air, I think. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay. Those listening, those who can't see, this is Wolf Creek. Specifically, Wolf Creek, the TV series. Even more specifically, Wolf Creek, the TV series, season two. for those that may or may not know this, and I, Wolf Creek was I think it's 2006, was a movie by a director called Greg McLean, which was, where, a couple of English backpackers meet an Australian whilst they're backpacking around Australia, and they go into the outback and they encounter the anti Crocodile Dundee. A guy called Mick Taylor, who he starts off as all very chummy and Aussie and all that stuff, but then transpires very quickly he's not a nice man. And things go very wrong very quickly for these three backpackers. And that was Wolf Creek 1. And then a couple of years later, they did a Wolf Creek 2, believe it or not, the sequel. And then, even more so than that, we then had Wolf Creek, the TV series, which was season one, which I had on Blu-ray. And I liked Wolf Creek 1, 2, and season 1 I thought was great. I mean, I was quite surprised it had even come out. So this was back in 2015, I think this was, maybe 2016. So imagine my surprise when about a month ago, I'm reading an article about Wolf Creek 3. That they're about to shoot and will be released next year, and they've pre-sold it. And as I was reading this article, bearing in mind I really like Wolf Creek 1 and 2 and season 1 of Wolf Creek, they said, oh, yes, and, of course, there was a season 2 of the TV show. And I'm like, what? And I was very surprised, and I think that can't be right. But I went on Amazon, I typed it in, and sure enough, not only is there a season 2, it's on Blu-ray. So had that was a Tuesday. I read it. It was here by the Wednesday. I was happily ensconced in front of my display in Cinema George watching it on the Wednesday night. Because this is one of the ones where I just moved everything to the side. So I watched it straight away.
That's where Shape of Water is.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Shape of Water. Yeah, it's that's the
so
one.
Close. On the side. Yeah.
So close. In the sink.
Yeah.
Running down the spot, down the plug.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, God.
So this is this 10 episodes? Oh, my God. I think it is 10. It was weeks ago. I saw it. 10. I think it's 10 episodes. So this is then where we now have each one is a bit like an anthology in as much as there are no returning characters. No one really makes it. Spoiler alert for there to be returning characters, right? So we get a coach of tourists.
Sounds uplifting, huh, John?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Whatever this might be, guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we have a busload of tourists who are on an outback tour, right? They're going through these various things. And wouldn't you know it, they come across Mr. Mick Taylor, who again is in that picture there. And much violence ensues. But what's interesting about this and what I liked about the Erda TV show is this is taking what you were talking about a few weeks back, John, and kind of why we talked about it is this idea of a film being spun off into a longer narrative where you get to know the characters and get to spend time with them. I think you were saying that most films you'd prefer to see as a series rather than as a movie.
Yeah.
And what's cool about this then is it is quite unusual with a stalk and slash kind of horror genre to get a series where you can get to know the characters. So they take their time and they set up all the different people and the family dynamics and everything else before the stuff hits the fan.
Right.
So when they do start to be picked off, you do feel that loss. You feel that, wow, that hits because you've got to know them and got to quite like them and, you know, all this stuff. And believe you me, as with all of the Wolf Creek content, you know, people die that would not normally die. People, you know, and in ways that they would not normally buy the farm in Hollywood movies. This is an Aussie series, Aussie TV shows, Aussie movies where everyone is fair game. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I really did enjoy this. Season two was great. There's never going to be a three. I don't think a season three anyway. There's a movie, as I say, coming next year for the third one, but, I think this is it. It was really enjoyable, really good, a bit OTT. You know, he gets out of things that he probably shouldn't do in real life. Mick gets killed in minute one, you know, but in this, he, you know, he's fairly immortal-ish. So that's that. Now, in terms of the video on it, again, it's 1080p, guys. So Blu-ray, DTS HD, Master Audio, Upmix to Direct. The video on it at times, again, is absolutely fantastic. Another disc where at times you will be thinking, am I watching a 4K BBC nature documentary or am I watching a relatively low budget horror feature? And sometimes you wouldn't necessarily know. Because of course these days, very high quality cameras can be used for just about any production. And so the outback, you know, the wilderness can look beautiful, absolutely beautiful and very three dimensional on a fairly sizable screen. Sounds really good as well. There's lots of icky bones cracking and various other things, but there are also storms. So we get our Ellsworth effect, as we like to say. Yes. And you get some echoes with gunshots and things going off where they then go right around the room. It's really good. The whole set cost me $9.99 brand new on Blu-ray. Ooh. And it was
brand new.
Oh yeah. 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 I'm running secondhand. I can't.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I was just talking about that.
Oh yeah. 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 So yeah, it's very, very cool and well worth picking up. If you like the movies, I mean, I, as I said to you, John, I think you'd see the first film first. If you like how that is mounted, then see the others by all means. But I think see the first one because stuff gets pretty real and pretty horrible in those. I mean, as I say, they don't mess about. It's not Terrifier levels because this is 2006, but it is certainly, bad things happen to fairly good people. There's no holds barred in this. You know, this is like stuff gets real and it gets nasty. And, you know, we're not just talking your usual types. We're talking kids and women and everything else as well. Mm. I mean, so it is quite a hard watch, but it's very, very good and well worth seeing if you're messed up like me.
Yeah. Well, I would say none of that bothers me. So. No,
well, there you go. It might just whet your appetite.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rush to see it with Lydia.
No, well, yeah.
Yeah. Cause she might be like, what are you watching? But if nothing else, it'll help you with your crikey.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny you mentioned Carl. Did you see that he was on it, Frame Forward?
Yeah, or is he going to be on it? Is he been on it?
It was yesterday. He was on yesterday. Right. I commented. It's funny. I saw the tweet and I commented and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. And I'm like, yeah, bring the thunder, buddy. And and then I looked and I'm like, I think it's a podcast you have to pay for.
I think it's like a teaching thing. I think it's.
Yeah. So, it was like $49 a month or something like that. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I'll just, I'll ask him how it went.
Just watch the movies again.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I saw that on Twitter.
He's really involved in trying to bring on young screenwriters and trying to help steer them in the right direction, which is very cool, even if for $49 a month.
yeah, exactly. So,
but Wolf Creek, like I said, well worth seeing, guys. If you like the others, it's worth picking up. Jordan says there is another Wolf Creek film in development. Yeah, no, I know. That's what I was talking about, Jordan. It was that article that I was reading that then told me there was season two to this. So, yeah, very, very good.
All right.
There we go.
Cool. Let's see. Did you guys watch this week? Where did it go? Did you watch are you caught up?
Yes.
I'm right at the end of the fourth one. I'm not quite finished the last episode, but I think I've seen all the relevant stuff.
Yeah, like all these episodes, it just ends on a like cliffhanger. But
yeah, so I think I've got about
like
two
all the episodes too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you'll probably get it, but for people that don't know, for people that can't see, right, Greg? Yeah, we're going to talk. This is one I was able to take in this week. Episode of the fourth episode. It dropped three, right? So four dropped this week.
This is episode four, yeah.
Four of Reacher season three. And I decided, since I can't go down to my theater and watch it, I'm like, oh, let me try this out with the AirPod Maxes that Steve is currently wearing now to do the show. There we go.
Product placement.
And as I'm saying it, nobody can see you because I have the graphic up. So there we go. The AirPod Maxes that Steve is modeling for us right now. Oh, so well. There we go. And how many people are looking right now going, oh my God, that's Steve's profile? It's like, I don't think I'd recognize him sideways on the street. like all of us, everybody's like, that's what you look like sideways?
Just straight on.
Nobody ever knew that Steve had a mullet.
Just checking.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So, all right, back to sorry. Enough focus on Steve for this week. So what I did is I watched it upstairs with the AirPod Maxes connected to my Apple TV. It doesn't have spatial audio, like surround, like it's not as good. It's like, I didn't notice that, like, I think on Disney Plus or some of like the iTunes, if you do a movie in iTunes, it's really like you're getting the Atmos, you're getting everything.
Yeah.
This didn't have that. At least it didn't feel like as much, but I was able to take in like all the sounds. Like it was really nice. Like, in this particular scene, in this particular show, he's sneaking around a house in the snow. And you could hear each little footstep, which at reference level in my theater, I could pick up. But upstairs, just listening, at normal volumes, you're really not going to – there's a lot that you wouldn't pick up. There was some, I want to say, dog barking. Some of the ambient sounds were really nice. But it was really not – and I didn't have the AirPod Maxes cranked either. I probably had them at 75%. And, you know, it was really – it was a nice experience. Especially with the sound isolation. So, like, dogs are running around and there's no tic-tac. I can't hear the dog. I can't hear the feet or anything. They're just, you know, whatever. And I'm just – it was enabled me to just focus on the show and not, you know, over-stimulate, I guess, what you want to call it. But I will say, maybe because it was so much enhanced – her accent is irritating.
She went full.
Do you guys agree? Was it worse this week?
It seemed like it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I really feel like she's trying to do. She's more Boston Long Island mix. Is what I'm getting out of her now. It's like there's the way she's like drawing out some of her vowels and stuff. I'm like, it's not Maine. That's for sure. But it's not Boston, I don't think.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's Boston Long Island either.
I think it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be Boston. I think it
is.
I think that's what she's
trying to do because all her references are Boston, right? Yeah, but she's not, it's not close. And it's like, I'm just like spitting like at Boston Long Island or something like that. There was something this week that I heard that I was like, that's kind of a Long Island accent. But yeah, it's bad.
She is definitely straying into comedy Boston accent, isn't she? It's like deliberately over the top, you know. To this particular one, I got the impression she's like, either she's like, I've got it now. I know I've got it. I'm so good at this. I can now emote using my Boston accent. And it's just kind of, and the more she tries to do that, the sillier it sounds.
I kind of feel like in this case, like now it's not so bad to me that I'm like, it's taking me out of the show or anything like that. But part of me wonders, like, maybe even from like a director's point of view, like who thought this was close or whatever? And why is it so, why couldn't they just have her do like a generic American act? Cause I know she's not American, right?
She's British, isn't she? Yeah.
Right. British. So why couldn't she just do a standard American accent? You know, nobody would have been like, why? Nobody even cares where she's from, right? And even if she did make some Boston references, if she's, what is she, FBI? She might have been all over, she might have lost her accent by now, like kind of John has. Yeah. You know, who cares? Why can't she just do a standard American accent, you know? Instead of trying to be so local.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that with a simple throwaway line. You know, I was born in Boston and then I moved away and then, you know, that was that, done. All right, there we go. Right. Fine. Now we're back to normal. We're on the East Coast. Accent. It's all good. Yeah. You know, it's fine. You don't have to then, go. She is perilously close to Park behind Harvard Yard, isn't she? She's close to it. It's like,
I'm just waiting for her, like every episode, she should have a Dunkin' Donuts cup in her hand and
and use the word wicked at the front of every, and the adjective wicked in front of everything.
Right. Wicked good. Wicked awesome.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Yeah. That's quote. That's an accent. That's it. It's like,
I mean, do you think in the last episode, she's going to just say, how'd you like them apples? I think it's a matter of time. Yeah. Actually, the beer they're drinking should have been Sam Adams, shouldn't it?
Yep.
But you really go for it.
Yep.
No, she's not.
She's not. But the show's good. I still like the way it's going. I like how the story is, you get that little bit of backstory now on what's going on. What was it on? It was on like Showtime or something, flipping the channels upstairs, watched Jack Reacher, the first one with Tom Cruise. That was fun, and that I almost sent it to you, Steve. I almost screen grabbed the scene. Like, remember
you wanted this. Yep.
You wanted this. I watched that whole scene. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Paul says something about it. So he says, is it just me or does it get a bit of a Hallmark Channel vibe from Reacher? Something about the way it's shot or acted or written makes it feel a bit early 90s daytime TV police procedural. There are F words in this, Paul. I don't remember any of those in those daytime TV police procedurals.
And lots of killing.
They were a bit shy about that in this one. Again, I'll be careful because we're not going to spoil it, but they seemed a bit shy about showing some of that in this one. And I wonder whether it's because of the way it was done by the character that it was done by, and because of the, how do I put it gently, the look of this particular character, that they, because of how it happened, they were very careful about displaying it. I think they seem quite shy about the violence in this one. It's very suggested. It's not shown. Whereas in the past, they've shown it. So that was interesting. But generally, it's violent as anything. I mean, normally people get killed left, right, and center.
I got one. I should have mentioned last week. I wanted to talk to John about, but Steve, did you grow up with the Bavarian arm wrestling? Is that what they called it?
I'm worried that's a euphemism. I'm not sure what it's
You don't remember it from the show? You don't remember when he did it in the show?
I've never seen that before, though. You've never seen that before? No.
John, you remember that?
I didn't remember it being called that, but
it was called something like that's not on. You got to do it. It was like, and I think it was called exactly something like
maybe it was.
Whatever it is, and you pull on it. And we did it with, I can't remember the kid's name. We were in Mr. Edenhofer's shop class, and then if you remember that shop class, you sat on stools on high desks, and somebody did it to, it was a kid that we hung around with too, and he was dumb as a stump. Me and Rappa turned around and had to walk away because he was biting on it. I think it was Jason Simler did it to him, and he's like pulling on it, and he punched himself, had to go to the nurse. Split the back of his head open and broke his own nose.
Oh, jeez.
You don't remember? It was a kid we know. I'm like, and we're like watching it. We're like, Mr. Edenhofer flipped out. And this is the 80s. And we're like, you just basically, Jason, I think it was Jason. He was just like, no, you don't have to do that again. Today, it's like you hauled off for assault.
Yeah.
It's like, we're like, you didn't even get detention, but you're, what the heck? Right. Who was one of the dumb kids we hung around with?
There was DJ.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thankful it never happened to me. It never happened to me. That one didn't happen to me. Eddie did it to me on the bus. Like, let's see how strong your neck is. And you push against it and it pulls away and you hit your head against the window. He did that to me twice.
So you're saying there's been more than one concussion?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that explains a lot. Yeah. It was days apart. No. Yeah. It was two different sides of the bus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit worried that tales of, where's Deej? He won't come out of his bedroom. Oh, he's Bavarian arm wrestling again.
No, that one never got me. As soon as somebody said it, I was like, what do you think? I'm stupid. That's what it was. Eric Cusan tried to do that one to me in the art room.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not stupid. And I'd never seen it before, but I'm like, I'm not an idiot. You're going to let go. But, oh my God. I can't remember who it was. When I say the name, you're going to be like, I remember him. He's an idiot. Oh, great contributor to the show though.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Oh man. I'm going to have to think of it. All right. All right. What do you want? What do you want next? knocking people out.
Let's go. Do you want to go for the, because looking at the time, do you want to go for that bottom left corner one there, Deej? My big one for the week. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah,
one.
There we go.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. All yeah. Right. Looking forward to doing this one. Okie dokie then. This, not that you'd know it from that picture necessarily, although again, I wonder whether someone perhaps would. I certainly wouldn't. This is Zodiac 2007. David Fincher movie on 4K Blu-ray and in DTS HD Master Audio, much more about which in a moment. We'll get to it. So this is from Paramount. This is not a Kino Lorber. It's not a Shout release. It's Paramount have done it. And this has come from the US. It's not out over here and no sign of it, as far as I know, coming out over here. So I was fortunate enough to have it imported. And I've watched it over three nights because it's nearly 3 hours long. And I just could not get the time to do it all in one. Now, you guys would have seen this. I mean, that's a stupid question, even as I ask it, I'm sure. Yeah. Right, good. Probably multiple times. Yeah. Now, I've seen it many times. I've got the Blu-ray. I haven't seen it in fact, the last time I saw it, funny enough, was in Cinema George, right after it had been finished, between where they had installed it and before Vincent Teo had done the calibration. And I put Zodiac on because I remember thinking, well, there's loads of shadowy, dark scenes, and it'll be interesting to see how the Z9D deals with that without it having been calibrated. And sure enough, put it on, way too bright, looked awful, thought, right, I'll wait for the calibration. and I haven't seen it since. So 4K disc. Now, the video, well, the movie still holds up. The movie's still brilliant. I mean, I love this film. The way this is told is very, very clever. And unlike these kinds of movies, it really does seem to have that air of truthfulness, of verisimilitude. It feels real. You get the impression this has been very meticulously researched. And it's based on a book, of course, from Robert Graysmith, who's the cartoonist played by Jake Gyllenhaal in the movie. And it does have that air of truthfulness, of reality. Those not wondering what it's about, you may not know. It's about the Zodiac killings in the late 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s in San Francisco. And the police investigation that then ensued. So the film, as I said, still holds up. Very, very good indeed. Great movie. Everyone's good in this. Robert Downey Jr. is a bit strange in it, though. He's only really got a cameo, really, in this. It's sort of an extended cameo. And he just sort of falls off the edge of the movie about halfway through. And you only sort of see him very briefly, and then he's gone, which is interesting. I mean, nowadays, he would have been the Jake Gyllenhaal role. He would have been the main casting. But at that time, he was just doing sort of secondary roles.
Really made his big comeback yet. I mean, obviously, exactly. Iron Man was the year later, I mean, he had done other things and he had already had a great career too, Chaplin and all that. But
I think he was still sort of in movie jail a little bit after, because of course he couldn't be insured, could he, for a while, after his conviction and all the rest of it.
He was in the sequel to, Fugitive? What was the name of that one? The
U.S.
Marshals. Yeah, he was in that, which was really cool. But
So he's on the fringes of this, but he's still very good. But Jake Gyllenhaal sort of steals the movie. He's fantastic in it, as is Mark Ruffalo. I mean, there's a Marvel thing here, really, isn't there?
Yeah, I know.
Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr. So anyway, film's great. It hasn't aged a day. Really, really good movie. And, so that's good. Now, the video. The video on this is exceptionally good. Very, very good indeed. Now, if you think about it, so this was shot digitally, because, of course, if you think Revenge of the Sith was, what, 2005? That was the first movie shot digitally.
Fully digital, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this is a couple of years later, but has been shot digitally. And unlike perhaps some digital movies of that era, that like Michael Mann's movies that go a bit weird, this still looks absolutely beautiful. They've done a really good job on this. The shadow detail is beautiful. The detail on the costumes in particular. And again, it's late 60s, early 70s, so everything's very OTT sort of color wise. The details are crazy good. And you can look at all the stitching on the fabric, on the ties, you know, all that kind of stuff. It never looks anything less than cinematic and intriguing and downright threatening at times as well, which of course is what it's supposed to look. It looks beautiful. This is it. This is exactly how this movie should look. So it looks great. Now the audio though, I had another frustrating experience, fellas, and it might be my fault. Through lack of understanding rather than anything else. So what do you guys remember about the audio of Zodiac? Anything?
Nothing.
No, not really. No.
Me neither prior to this. And if you'd asked me, I would have said, oh, I'm really looking forward to the audio on this. This is going to be great. It's going to be evocative and it's going to, because it's Fincher and we've seen Seven again recently and he knows how to not only compose a shot, but he knows how to do a sound mix. I thought, right, this is going to be great.
Set the tension.
This is an experimental sound mix. Okay. Because, and what he's done is he has tried to evoke the era. And the idea is, and I've had to research this because what happened is I put the movie on, and I thought my rear speakers had gone. I thought they're not connected. And I got up and I put my ear to the speakers. And you know how sometimes up next to neural edge, you can hear a slight echo in these speakers, can't you? You know, it's just background noise.
Yeah.
And I put my ear up, not a sound, nothing. Went to the back, to the left, right surrounds, nothing. Nothing in the overheads. I'm thinking, what the hell? And again, can't be the movie. Must be my sister.
It's got to be you.
Got to be, yeah, stress.
What'd you do?
It was Tuesday. So I'm thinking, what the hell? And so I stop the movie, put on my Dolby Atmos demo disc. It all comes alive. Right, okay, it is the disc. Then I'm thinking, is the disc faulty? Is there something wrong with the disc? Getting irritated now. Stress of home theater, Deej. You should do a Takeover Tuesday on that.
Yeah.
And so I was getting frustrated and I thought, you know what? I'm going to just look this up. So onto Blu-ray.com, onto a High Def Digest and all the rest of it. Every one of them says it's supposed to be evoking the time. And for most of the movie, it's front centric. It's all about the dialogue and it's about the idea that it would have been a two channel stereo back then and that's it. And occasionally the rears will come alive. That got me to relax, went back, started it again. And sure enough, that is what happened. So for much of the movie, it is an experimental mix. Loads of the film, it is literally center channel, left and right, and nothing in the surrounds at all. Nothing, even with me relax. However, from time to time in important scenes, they do come alive. There's a storm. You get it all around the room. There's a scene in a busy news office. You can hear everything around. It changes. There's a scene by an airport. You can hear the planes all going overhead. There's one quite cool sequence in a basement where you can hear someone where it's all supposed to be very unsettling and you can hear footsteps overhead in the overheads. It just, when you go into this, forgive me, Van Gogh, you're right. Forgive me. There was me saying
it's Dolby True HD.
True HD and Dolby Surround, which of course also then freaked me out a bit because I'm thinking, oh my God, is there something wrong with my Dolby Surround codec?
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't. So yeah, sorry. Well done, Van Gogh. Thank you for that. So it is an experimental mix. When you get hold of this disc, and you should, or the Kaleidoscape version, Deej, if they release it.
I already have it. I looked it up and I'm like, I already own it. I don't know when I bought it, but I did. But it's there.
Anyone watching it, anyone that's coming to it, just beware. Don't do what I did and then start getting really worried about it. It is an experimental mix. It is deliberately front focus for most of it.
You know what else was like that?
What was that?
We never talked about it on the show. I think you and I watched it a while ago, Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
Yeah, we never ended up getting to it in the show. Yeah, the 4K disc. And it had that same effect. Like, it was very front heavy. And then I didn't think anything of it. I just thought it was an older film and this is what they did. But then when they went into the musical numbers, it surrounded you. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, so like when everybody started singing or something like that, when they really, so it really kind of played that up. It, obviously, this being a comedy, but they did the exact same thing. It's like everything was front heavy. And I kind of did this. I wasn't worried about it, but I did the same thing as you. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, it's just front set. And then when it did fill the room, it actually made that seem like, you know, more important, right? Like more dynamic. All of a sudden your room is filled and then it goes right back to being at the front again.
Yeah. I just think these films should have disclaimers on them. That says, just stay seated, so you know,
finish the movie.
Yeah, exactly. It should, because it was irritating, and then again it was annoying. Yeah. But it is the movie, it's meant to be that way. But overall, as an experience, it was really good. This I know I keep saying it, but this is the way to see this film. I mean, you know, 4K HDR, it looks fantastic. And in the bits where it decides it is in surround sound, that's decent as well. I mean, it's not thunderous. It's not all encompassing, but it's very evocative and it clearly knows what it's doing. So I had a great time seeing this again. Yeah. And again, I recommend this disc, all day long.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Really good.
Yeah. I have it on.
It's long.
Yeah. 237. I mean, it's no Brutalist. I mean, you get an hour extra, you get an hour off, you know, but on Kaleidoscape, it's 4K, with Dolby Vision. But it's the audio is Dolby True HD 5.1.
So it is good. It holds up, but it's just long. And as I said, it took me three sittings because I just could not get that time to watch it all in one, as much as I wish I could.
If you've already seen it, it's not as bad to do it in breaks. Mm-hmm. All at once. I mean, the first time you see it, you really should, because of the pacing of the movie and everything we just talked about, the sound, it all plays out that way.
Mm.
But yeah, I was going to do a cha-ching, but I already cha-chunged. So,
yeah, the past tense of cha-ching is cha-chung, is it? Cha-chung.
So, sorry, I got to get a new sound of cha-chunged. But I already had it. Oh, well.
Is it on Amazon, John?
I'm sure it is. I don't have it up. Let's see.
Because
I know it's in my list of movies to buy at some point. When I get a job.
It'd be interesting to see what you get.
Yeah, it's $23 on.
Okay. Well, so that's held its price, isn't it? Yeah. But I'll be curious to see what you make of it again on your bigger screen and you know, that kind of thing. It's really good. Yeah, it's very, very cool. Yeah. So there we go. Alrighty.
Cool. All right. I just have a quick scene, and I don't even have it stamped, but John, you want to do this one?
Yeah, this will be quick too, because I know the show's almost over, but.
Yeah, let me see. All right, ready?
This will round out. All right, so this will round out my ex experience. This is Maxine.
The movie, not your wife, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My life is still going. But, so this is Maxine. This was in 4K Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. I think the consensus among people that watch these movies is this is the worst of the three. So par for the course, it was my favorite of the three.
Oh, wow.
Actually enjoyed this one more than the other two. Yeah, for me, this was the best film.
Almost kind of like you with your wives too. It's your last one's your favorite.
Exactly.
There you go.
Third time's a charm. It's
like the exes are not so good.
And like my wife, this will be the last one.
Here we go.
There won't be a four. I don't know. I thought story-wise, now again, this is not a horror film. Really at all. Nah. I think, and probably of the three, this is the least horror of all of them. This is, it is just a crime drama, really, more than anything. I like this movie, and I thought this was the best experience out of the three as well. I thought, disc wise, I thought the Atmos here, and probably had a lot to do with the soundtrack. The music, you know, this takes place in the early 80s And, you know, there's some 80s soundtrack here, which of course is, you know, our jam. So yeah. I liked that. But yeah, like I said, pretty quick. But for me, this was the best out of all of them. And, you know, disc wise, again, I thought this was the best of the three. You know, again, none of them are going to win any awards. And even saying that this was my favorite of the three, I don't know that I'll come back to it necessarily and watch it again. But I did enjoy this one more than the rest. So,
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, man. Oh, you know what? We talked about it.
I know it's not yours, Steve.
Yeah, I'm with you in as much as I don't think I'd see this one again. The other two, I mean, X I've seen four or five times. This one, Pearl I've seen once, but would look forward to watching that again. This one I just did not get. I didn't get what it was. One, it was not a horror film. You're right.
It's not. Yeah.
It's not cool when you're trying to sell me that it's a horror film and it's not a horror film. You know, that's not good. And I didn't really get it. I don't think I really was ever really on board with it. I wasn't on board. I just got bored. It just was kind of, I don't know. And I'm sure there's stuff in there to appreciate, but I didn't get it. It never really engaged me. I don't think I'll see it again. And also though, of course, I only watched the Blu-ray, so I haven't seen the 4K version. I don't think I'd see it again unless The Shape of Water is not available. Right. Then I'll obviously have to watch this again.
Well, and even with the 4K version, that's not enough for me to say watch it again. Like it wasn't revolutionary by any means. So
I never quite got the where it was going. To me, this kind of feels like a lower budget Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You know, it's trying to open the lid on the porn industry in the 80s and what was going on and the exploitation of these women and I think that's what it's trying to get at, but I never really felt that it had anything interesting to say, and so I just got kind of bored. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I mean, and again, because you hated X.
I did dislike X quite a bit. Pearl I liked more.
Yeah.
And
way to go on with the trilogy though.
Yeah. Because these were provided for me to be able to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm definitely going to watch them. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily chosen these to watch on my own, but you know, like I said, I do have them, so I'm going to watch them, and
Nice. All righty. Let's see. Let me pull up my my one scene for the week, and this is Steve's looking closely.
I can't tell what it is either. So
no. Oh. There you go. I would never have picked that one on from the picture I can see.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Actually.
So this is a scene from Thor, the original Thor movie from what year was Thor? Was that
2010? Yeah, it's got to be a couple of years.
Something like that, because it was maybe the fourth or something like that. Wow. It was 2011. Fourth, right? 2011.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was after Iron Man 2.
Right. Because we had Iron Man.
Right,
Hulk,
after that one. Yeah.
Iron Man Hulk, 2, and then Thor.
Was that before Captain America?
I think so.
Yeah. Captain America came after that. Because remember, Captain America First Avenger ended with him coming out on the street in New York City. And then we went right from there. That was like bringing us right into the first Avengers movie. But watching TV upstairs and flipping channels, and I think FX or something on Fridays does like the MCU. They just like bookend all day long the MCU every Friday for one reason or another. And I happened to be watching this happen to be on, and I saw the scene, this particular scene at the end, and it was, well, towards the end, and I'll talk about it in a second, but, to me, it was one of the pinnacle scenes at the beginning of the MCU that you're like, oh my God. And it like culminated the entire movie. But then, later on, obviously we have a grander scene when in, Infinity War, when Thor comes down and shows up and he has the hammer and he's like, oh, you're in trouble. Was that Infinity War? I think that was Infinity War.
Yeah, yeah. When he drops down.
Infinity War. Right, right. Cause he should have gone for the head. Right. So he shows up and you have, you know, Mark Ruffalo go, oh, you're in trouble now. But that scene when he comes in, the thunder and everything, that was amazing, you know, arrival scene. But if you remember at the end of this movie, and I apologize, I didn't get a timestamp for it. I watched it a few times. So I watched it upstairs, but then I did fire up the theater and come down and just watch the scene. And I came out unscathed, watched it a couple of times, but that's all I did, full reference. And it is everything that I wanted when I was watching it upstairs. You know, you get, so it's the scene when he's fighting that, what do they call it? The Destroyer?
The Destroyer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he turns back into Thor, you know, and the hammer and everything. It's like, and it is more fun. Like when you watch this scene, yeah. So Paul Hurt, yeah, the Destroyer battle. Yeah. Such a great sound design. It is one of those scenes that when you just put this scene on, it just doesn't have the same punch because of the emotion of the movie building to this, of him losing all of his powers, spoiler alert, and then getting his powers back, at that moment. And then Natalie Portman, like, oh my God, which is so cool because they end up together and he's considered a god and that's now her god. Get it? I like that. But just that the hammer coming flying back in, the hammer landing there and then the boom and the noise. I mean, the entire thing, it builds on the entire movie, the emotion, and then you watch it. So when you watch it as a scene, it still plays out as a fairly good reference scene. But watching the movie play out is just, you know, it just culminates everything right there. And it was just a lot of fun to do. And again, Dolby Vision upgraded. So the color, the costume though, I will say, looks a little too, this is early MCU, look a little too costumey.
Yeah, right?
There's no wear. There's no wear and tear on it. There's no, like, that's supposed to be his battle costume. And I know he's Thor, but I mean, come on. It looks like it's just brand new. Like they just made it. It's like plastic. So, but yeah, it's a really, really good scene. That one, you know, that there's that scene. There's a few others that I like. Another one that I like that maybe now that I think of it is the Wonder Woman scene when she goes through the minefield or whatever. In World War One, that scene there where she's just Wonder Woman for the first time, I thought was, that's a really good scene referencing too. But yeah, so that's what I'm going to try to do. Do a couple of scenes a week since I can't watch whole movies. But yeah, so that's what I got for this week. So anything else, boys?
I can keep my rest till next week. I've got a few more. That's okay. I can build them up.
Anything you wanted to do quick, or you got to get?
Could do Centurion quick if you wanted, just super quick.
Sure, there,
get rid of that one. Yeah, that's that'll be lurking there somewhere. There it is.
There we go.
Yeah, we'll quick.
All right. There we go. Now there's no surprise. Everybody knows what.
Oh, you were all right. It's okay. It's an old film. All right. So this is the movie Centurion from friend of the show, or at least appears on the show every now and then, Neil Marshall. Directed this, him of Dog Soldiers, The Descent fame, and there's another one going to be coming next week as well, which is another one of the discs that arrived from America. So this is Neil Marshall doing Gladiator. And in this movie, we have Michael Fassbender, we have Dominic West doing his, but we've got Liam Cunningham, obviously, also in Dog Soldiers, and, you know, The Onion Knight in Game of Thrones. You know, he's in all Neil Marshall's movies, it seems, and various others. And this is on Olga Korolenko as well, isn't she? What was she in? She was in
She's Taskmaster.
Was she?
Black Widow, right? Yeah. Isn't that? I think so.
She was in the Bond film. She was in a Bond movie, Olga Korolenko. I'm not sure if was that.
I could be wrong.
Quantum Solace, something like that. Oh yeah. But anyway, yeah. Well, there we go. So this is literally Neil Marshall doing Gladiator, and someone obviously thought, you know, it's fine. You know, we can do it. It's all right. But what they decided to do in this film is they decided that they would shoot it on location. So there are very few interiors, and they shot this in the north of England, up in kind of Scotland and in the very north of England. What seems like in the middle of winter. And these poor so-and-sos were just kind of pushed out into it. And it's about, it's a story that takes on, have you guys ever heard of the myth of what happened to the Ninth Legion? You ever heard about that? You may have done, you might know, I know if you read your
apology. Yeah.
Old, Davey would know it. That's for sure. From, you know, Ryan and Davey, he would have heard about it. He's the Roman buff, isn't he?
Yeah.
From hashtag dork. So there is the legend of the Ninth Legion. It was a battalion of soldiers who were told to go and, find the Celts, who were or the Picts, and they were the people that obviously were resistant. They were resisting the Roman invaders in northern England. And the Ninth Legion disappeared. And they literally were never seen, never found. That's the myth. Right? That's the legend. And they literally went north and disappeared and were never seen again. And this film takes that as its inspiration. And we have Michael Fassbender, who is a centurion, who is, essentially for reasons cast out. And then he encounters the Ninth Legion and then encounters what is left of them. And they then spend the movie. It's a chase movie trying to get away from the Celts or the Picts who are chasing them. Now, as I said, it is supposed to be Neil Marshall's Gladiator, and you've got Dominic West, who is playing this Roman general. And Dominic West, of course, is, you know, Jimmy McNulty from The Wire. And this is essentially Jimmy McNulty trying to be a Roman general. And it's every bit as silly as that sounds. He is no Russell Crowe. So, if you ever do get to see it, don't rush to see this, fellas. All right.
But it's on.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So if you get a chance to see it, give it a go. Don't rush. Yeah. But it's cheesy as it sounds. Now I've seen this
14, film. $15 on Kaleidoscape in HD with, in HD with, TTS Master Audio 7.1.
Oh, okay. Well, this is only 5.1. It is the Blu-ray, by the way. Sorry, I should have said that. Yeah. It's 1080p Blu-ray. I've had this for years.
That's all this is too. Blu-ray.
Yeah. No, I've seen this 4 times, including this last time. And when I came to watch it the 4th time, I couldn't have told you just about anything about the movie from the first 3 times. All right. That is honestly. So I now watch, and this is the first time in Cinema George, first time I've seen it in years. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it more this time than I have before. And I remember some of it this time, so I must have enjoyed it more. and it is, there is some fun to be had in it. There is some gore and some guts and some violence. I mean, you know, it is, again, trying to be Gladiator. So there is some violence in it, and it's quite well done. The performances vary. As I say, Dominic West is literally Jimmy McNulty as Roman general. And he's not great. But there is some good stuff in it, and it's worth seeing. The image quality is decent. It's not amazing. You can tell it's been shot on location, and they do look cold. These poor so-and-sos look like they are freezing. It looks more like The Revenant at times, you know, where you're like, they clearly went through something with this. So it's okay. And the audio is quite good. It's not, you know, not brilliant, but it's pretty good. And you get the wind in the kind of the rear speakers as it's moving, and you get some thundering of the hooves and some, you know, people being cut up and all the rest of it. So swords sort of swishing around. It's good fun if you can see it for free. Or very cheaply, and if it's on Peacock, John, then if you've got some time,
yeah,
give it a go.
Do I have time?
But that sounded like a Roman thing then.
Yeah, I got time.
Yes, I'm John Suetonius Maximus.
Maximus Timus,
general of the Texas region. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it now. Oh. Yeah, but give it a go. I'll be curious to see what you make of it. I think you'll be like, what a load of crap, but I enjoyed it.
Probably.
That's what I think you'll say.
I like crappy movies. So.
Well, this is
the good ones he doesn't like.
Yeah exactly. Shape of Water, you know, those Oscar winners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it definitely fits the bill in terms of that. But I did enjoy it more than I thought I would. I don't know what made me put this on. I think, again, it was just the Neil Marshall thing, and I was aware he's done this, and I've had the disc for years. And I just thought, you know what, I'll give it another go. And it is quite fun. But as I said, you will lightly watch it and go, what a load of crap. That was quite fun. And in fact, these next time, if you speak to Ryan Davey, is it, I think it is Davey, isn't it? He's the
Ryan Davey. Yeah. He's the one that
is the Roman nut. Might be worth suggesting this to
Roman aficionado.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see what he makes of this as well, because they have tried to give it some truthfulness.
Historical truth.
I mean, bearing in mind they're not talking Latin, but still. They have tried to give it some truthfulness, and it'd be interesting to see what he makes of it. But just as long as he knows it's a very cheesy movie.
I think you've made that clear.
Oh, yeah. With extra cheese.
It's like John's going to watch it tonight.
Yeah. Clearing the schedules.
There you go.
I'm going to skip Daredevil and watch Centurion.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Skip that. Yeah, exactly. All right. I have one comment here in the chat. Jordan, talking about Thor, he says, love the music score for Thor, especially the music that plays in the end credits. Also had a great cameo by Stan Lee as a truck driver trying to pull Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. I never say that right.
Meow, meow.
But yes, what plays at the end, if you're thinking of the same one, Jordan, is Foo Fighters, Learning to Walk Again. It also plays in the bar scene. When they go for a drink and they do a proper Boilermaker, where you pour the drink in and don't drop the glass in. But yeah, that's in the background, which I always thought, I think I mentioned it because I did Thor as a standalone on the show. And I love that because it's like, that's the entire basis. That Foo Fighters song, if you listen to the lyrics of it, is the entire basis of Thor. It's like he's had everything stripped away. Now he has to learn how to walk again. And so it plays faintly in the background in the bar, and then they close with the end credits on it. So pretty cool. So it's a great score.
And I think it's got one of my favorite lines in that bit. Is this the one where Thor says with Stellan Skarsgård, "We drank, we fought, he did his ancestors proud."
Yeah, exactly. As he's carrying them back in.
Great line.
No, but we have guys at the restaurant come in and they do Boilermakers all the time, and they'll get a big glass and they drop the whole shot glass in. I'm like, you're doing it wrong. And they're like, no, that's how you do it. I go, no, that's from the movies. That's an idiot way to do it, because you're actually getting, look at where does all the beer go? It all spills out. I go, you just pour it in from the shot glass. You don't do it this way. And then when I saw that in the movie, I almost clipped it and sent it to the people at the grill. Like, could you show this every time somebody asks for a Boilermaker? Cause they look ridiculous.
I'm just imagining you behind the bar, like Cocktail now, these like Tom Cruise in Cocktail, showing people how to make these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Oh, glasses breaking everywhere.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right. That it for the week?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Also, a thank you to Danny Speakers. Danny Speakers dropped off a little thumb drive that has the original, never before seen, not by me,
pilot.
Big Bang Theory. Yeah. So I'll be taking that in this week. Mm-hmm. So thanks to Danny Speakers for that. I really appreciate that.
I saw four episodes yesterday, dude. So up to episode 7 now.
Oh, yeah. Enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Haven't lost faith, right?
No, yeah. No. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Watched four in a row last night and very easy. Yeah. It was good. Nice. Yeah. Really good. A
lot of fun. Mm. Yeah. All right. All right, everybody, that'll do it. We ran a little over. We started a little late, so we almost did a 2-hour show, I think.
Just over 2 hours. Yeah, 201.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could have looked at the timer. See, that's where's my head. So, all right. Yeah, see? Yeah, I got to get out of here. Look at me. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to the patrons. I'll be over there in a little bit at the Patreon chat after. And but until Greg, have a great night. Greg the Awesome Ender. Say and have a great night. Great night, everybody. Everybody in the chat, thank you so much. All the patrons, thank you so much. Everybody, you know what you got to do. Until next time,
go push play. What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.